Amen. Amen. So we're in Hebrews chapter 11, and we're on verse 7. And so I'm just going to jump into this as we talk about what it means to be an influencer. As God puts us in places where we can create change. And by the way, that's how every one of us was created by God. That we were designed by Him to organize and orchestrate and create and develop change. And that change is pointing people to Jesus. So here it is, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7. Remember, the foundation of influence is faith. So this is what it says. It was by faith that Noah built a large boat to save his family from the flood. He obeyed God, who warned him about the things that had never happened before. By his faith, Noah condemned the rest of the world, and he received the righteousness that comes by faith. I think what's interesting is the question for all of us is, does my life actually make a difference? Is what I do and say actually going to impact anybody? And you know what's interesting is I find that the enemy works so hard on the concept of influence and undermining us, making us feel like our vote really doesn't matter. Our being at our job isn't really making that much of a difference. It's amazing how we shortchange ourselves. That actually God designed you to be the person that you make a difference everywhere you go. But many times we look at ourselves as less than, as not that much. That I don't really have a lot to offer. You know, as a young man, one of my favorite things to do was to build. And so I was a Lego guy, and I would come home after school, and I had a huge garbage bag full of Legos, and I loved all Legos, and I liked to mix them. I was one of those guys that didn't like to follow the instructions, which made some people panic. So I would just dump all of the Legos, and I'd mix up. I had the expert sets, I had the space sets, I had the night sets, I had all of it, and I would just dump it out in the middle of my room. I would just build whatever I wanted. And I remember friends would come over and they were like, man, where's the instructions? Why are space Legos mixed up with medieval times Legos? This should not be happening. There's something wrong with this equation. And they were like, no, we follow the pages. And what was interesting is that when you're done building that, you just kind of put it on the shelf and there it sits. But what I loved is just loved creating. And I was constantly building. So that was my favorite thing when I was a kid. I'd come home after school, I'd throw all the Legos on the ground, and I would build until I was told I had to do something else. This morning, I have a question for us as we take a look at Noah. Noah, living in his time and in his age, the Bible gives us in Genesis chapter 6, look what it says of kind of the time and the age in which Noah lived. Verse 9, this is the account, this is out of Genesis chapter 6, this is the account of Noah. This is the account of Noah and his family. Noah was a righteous man, the only blameless person living on earth at the time. And he walked in close fellowship with God. Noah was the father of three sons. Verse 11, now God saw that the earth had become corrupt and was filled with violence. God observed all this corruption in the world, for everyone on earth was corrupt. So God said to Noah, I have decided to destroy all living creatures, for they have filled the earth with violence. Yes, I will wipe them all out. I will wipe them all out along with the earth. And then verse 14, it says, build a large boat. The crazy thing about this, and by the way, for many, they think of Noah as a kind of a concept or an idea that the writers of the Old Testament were just trying to paint a picture. But the reason why I know this was a real event is because actually in the New Testament, Jesus refers to Noah as an event that actually took place. So therefore, when we take a look at this event, we look at it not just as an idea, but something that really took place, that Noah, standing on the earth, saw the world that he lived in, and he had a decision to make. as God approached Noah and said, this is what I'm going to do. And then he says, I want you to build something. And in the concept of all that God was wanting to do, he comes to a man, he comes to mankind, he comes to a person, and he says, I have something for you to do. Why? Because I think, honestly, we can feel like, what can I do? I see the world in which I live, and it's so complicated. There's so many big things out there. What could I possibly do? And God says to Noah, as Noah's response of faith is, I want you to build. Influencers build something greater than themselves. I think in this modern age, all of us are trying to, you know, get ahead and all of us are trying to accomplish great things. We want great this and we want our job to be significant and we feel like we're always trying to work on these areas. And what I love about the story with Noah is that God was saying, listen, if you want to make an impact, you have to make a decision on what you're going to build. But I think many times when we think that our life is so insignificant that we really can't really make a difference, then we just kind of what? We just build for ourselves. The more we're disappointed by other people, the more we become introverted and the more we just think about our own world and what we're building. But I love how God comes to Noah and what does he ask him to do? He says this. He says, I want you. And it was back in Hebrews chapter 11. He says, it was by faith that Noah built a large boat to save his family from the flood. What are we building? I have the statement, the answer to that this morning. A large church for many to be saved, belong, and thrive. When you see what God was beginning to do, he wanted Noah to actually build something that was going to create an opportunity for salvation in the earth. And so what is it that we are building? Look at our vision statement as a church. And here it is. We believe in a life-giving church that is building extraordinary people who love Jesus, help each other, and influence the world together. I love this statement because it shines the light on what we are doing. That this actually makes a difference in the earth. As we see God speaking that Noah by faith built something, what are we building? And I believe that there's a significance about the church. And I think all of us have come from maybe bad experiences or moments or things that kind of made us feel funky or the world looks at church as a why bother. Why would you give your time to something like that? Well, think about Noah. God comes to him and says, I want you to build a boat. Okay. Yeah, I want you to go ahead and build it right here on dry ground. And I'm going to do something that's never been done before. I think when people look at people who go to church as a waste of time, oh, why bother? Why would you give a portion of your Sunday to go and do karaoke and listen to someone talk? And yet Noah, from that moment on, began to build something that was bigger than himself because it became a platform in which God began to move salvation in here. What is Jesus building? Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, look at this. This is Jesus responding to Peter. I will build my church, and all the powers of hell will not conquer it. Look at Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11. Now these are the gifts Christ gave. Who gave? Christ gave to the church. The apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers. And then look. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. There's something powerful that God is building in the earth. And it's what Noah began to stand for and move by faith, and it makes no sense. It doesn't fit within our time frame or our comfort zone. I gotta go out and get lumber and wood, and all my neighbors are gonna see and think I'm crazy. You're right, we're crazy. But what are we building? We're building something. We're building pathways to Jesus for people who don't know. Noah began to build a boat. It's a mere structure that indicated to the world that there is a response for mankind to God. As that structure began to build, people are wondering, why? What does this mean? And Noah's like, listen, I heard God and I'm responding, which means there has to be something that we're building that's bigger than ourselves. Because everybody's about their own. But all of a sudden, God invites us to be about this, about his work of salvation in the earth. It's also the reason why I think so many people don't want to be a part of church. Because it's easier to stay at home. It's easier to say, well, you know, I'm just going to watch a preacher online because then I don't have to deal with you crazy people. I don't have to fight for a parking spot. If someone takes my seat, I don't have anybody taking my seat at home. It's easier. I get it. I think it would have been easier for Noah to just go, you know what, God, go ahead. You build it. And then, of course, the movie, we see like these weird rock, you know, creatures that helped Noah build it. And I'm like, sense. I didn't even know that existed. Hey, man, there you go. Let's be real. Hollywood. Why? Why would we build relationships? Why would we build each other? And why would we be a part of this? Because I believe, like Noah, just the mere structure of it shows mankind that there is a response to a living God. You bet we've messed it up. We've cut beams too short. And we've hauled them all the way up to the top of the boat and realized that they're the wrong size and now have to walk all the way back down and yell at someone else because we thought it was their fault. But really, it's ours. But you know what the beauty of it is? Is that it takes broken, weird, strange, awkward people who get to show off, look what God can do. I didn't know John and Cheryl Carr. I didn't know them before this. And then God brought us together. People of different ethnicities and culture and backgrounds and economic status and skin color all coming together under the banner of Jesus, showing the world that there is a response to who God is. And the church was his design to show it off. Why do you think the enemy is so against it? And you're right, it doesn't make any sense. If you're trying to fit church in the rational framework of your brain, good luck. But neither was the boat. Second, I think it's important when we, so the first one, you're like, what's the first one? The what? We are building something large. We are building a large church. Why would we build a large church and not just keep it small? Why would we just keep it small? Because it's so much more fun to know everybody. There's something to be said. When I walk in the door, people say my name. I got a seat for me. I got a parking spot. This is not Cheers. For those of you who have no idea what that is a reference. It used to be an old TV show. This is so that God create a platform that all men can, all mankind can be saved. And there's something about when we come together that we can do more than we could apart. So that was number one. I went back. I was giving you more in that number one. Number two is the why. I think it's important for us to understand, why are we building? Like, I came to church to get a word for me. And now you're talking about we should build the church. What's wrong, Pastor? Is there something wrong with the finances or something? No. No. I'm just following what was next, Noah. Okay, so don't shoot the messenger. All right, here it is. The why. Verse 7 in Hebrews chapter 11. He obeyed God who warned him about things that had never happened. You want to know what the why is? Why would we put ourselves in harm's way of each other? Why would we be willing to leave our comfortable homes and not just stay at home and actually participate in an uncomfortable environment and step out and get out and move out and talk to? Why? Why? Because eternity is at stake. Why? Do you know that the reference that Jesus makes about Noah is about the end times? In Matthew chapter 24, when he mentions Noah, he says, in the end times days, people will just be doing whatever they want while Noah was building his boat. Same will be the days. In other words, he's indicating to us as we look to Noah and we realize that influencers build something that's greater than themselves, that the reason why is because we realize how this whole thing is going to end. That every man, person, child, woman, and being will stand before God and they will have to give an account of their life. And there's only one way, and that is Jesus. And having him changes everything. And some people get bent out of shape. They're like, well, why is it just about Jesus? Do you know why it's just about Jesus? Why God said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish and have everlasting life. Because how would you like to be married to someone who never told you what they liked? So you spend your days trying to figure it out. And they don't tell you whether they like it or don't like it. All you do is get the cold shoulder. What I love about God is he loved the world so much that he said, listen, you want to know how to come to me? I'm going to help you so you don't have to try to figure it out. You just say the name of Jesus and everything changes. You don't have to hike some high mountain. What happens if you can't hike? You don't have to sing a special song because you sing off key. You don't have to rub special beads. All you got to say is the name of Jesus, because when you say his name, salvation comes to your house. You want to know why? Because we know how it ends. And that should motivate us not to be weird, not to throw tracks out our windows and be bizarre, not to walk up to people in a grocery store and like, oh, do you know Jesus? Ah! And they're like, oh, God. No, you don't understand what it means is because we understand that eternity is in the balance. So therefore, our love has no limits. We encourage without reservation. We stand strong because they need to see the way. It becomes a part of our life. It becomes a part of who we are. We begin to build something that shows off who Jesus is because we know the end. Eternity is in the balance. Life is short. People need to know. And not just by our words, but by our actions and our love and our motivation to get out of our comfort zones and realize that he's put us on this planet so that we can be influencers. Otherwise, if he didn't, I believe that salvation would have been an instant ticket to heaven. It's why the church for so many years was so excited about the rapture. Because they thought it was some instant ticket that gets us out of this crazy world. So that as we're flying up to heaven, we're like, you know, neener, neener. That is not God's intention at all. He has kept us here as people who can show, who can build something that causes all men to realize there is a response to God. And look at how they love one another. Look at how they respond to each other. Look at how they love and encourage and build each other up. It makes no sense, but when you see it on the context of what God is doing, it creates this momentum that is bigger than ourselves. We know how it ends. Noah's actions would bring about the end, but he knew their end was coming, so he had to continue to build. With each beam and strap, it declared time was short. However, he was making space for as many could come. Our perspective is that time is short. We understand the end, which doesn't make us check out, but lean in. It's important that we recognize that. Do you see how big this room is? It's got a lot of space for a lot of people that time is short for. And so being an influencer is being a part of building something that is bigger than yourself. Last and finally, how do we build? It says in the Hebrews chapter 11, it says, by faith, Noah condemned the rest of the world and he received the righteousness that comes by faith. Kind of a funky verse. As I was looking at it, the idea of condemnation is that there was a choice. And I didn't realize this, but because Noah built a boat, it created an opportunity for every man, woman, and child during that time to make a choice. How are we building? Will determine what kind of choice people have. How we build will determine what kind of choice people have. If we look like everybody else, treat each other like everybody else, the choice for others becomes clear. Hell no. But Jesus is real. His Holy Spirit is in us. And we can actually live differently and give each other the benefit of the doubt. Forgive each other. Walk with people who are not like us. It gives the world, when we are a part of building something that is bigger than ourselves, it gives them a choice of what is that? How can that be? We are not building edifices to ourselves. This is not the Ryan Maloof show. Although my shirt does look good today, but that's a side note. I think it's important for us to realize this is not about man. This is about God wanting to create a choice for human beings to see who he is and what he wants to do in their lives. How else will he do it? If we stay at home, they won't know. If we don't go into our places and use what God has given us to show off his love, they won't know. What kind of choice are you creating? Are you the kind of worker that cuts corners? Are you the kind of people that hold grudges? Are you the one that have a short fuse? Are your words spattered with F-bombs all day long? I'm just trying to be real. Man, you're giving people a choice to go, I don't want that. How are we building? Makes all the difference. I want all to see. I want all to be loved by God. I want all to see they're unique as a beautiful creation and they're given the Holy Spirit. I want all to see they've been given talents and abilities to show off how incredible God is. I want them to know there's a place that they belong, a place to become and be a part of a refuge and a strength. What are we building? The church. And inside that, we're developing and giving ourselves to relationship. Why are we building? Because we know what the end looks like. We know where every man, woman, and child will eventually have to stand, and therefore it motivates us to get out of our world, out of ourselves, out of our. I know it's hard. I know. Camera people are freaking out right now. I just got off my little platform. You gotta understand, this is not about perfection. This is not about knowledge. Oh, I just don't know what to say. You tell them what Jesus has done in your life. And if you're feeling like, well, I don't even know what that is, then maybe you've been holding parts of your life back from him. Because he promises to move in your world if you let him. But he always stands at the door waiting to be invited. Why do you think we worship the way we do? And it's not just a few songs and we're out. It's just a little warm up for the message. Because I'm wanting us all to take a moment and invite. God, I need you. I want you. And I don't know how to say it. I'm a guy. I only have like 20 words. And my wife took them all this morning. That's why you can just sing along. I end with a passage of scripture that I think is really beautiful. And I'm going to do my best to read it to you, even though I failed fourth grade 3 times and I get to mix words because I've got some dyslexia that happens in there. But I want you to hear this. This is Romans chapter 12 in the Message Bible, starting with verse 4. And this is my conclusion. In this way, we are like the various parts of a human body. Each part gets its meaning from the body as a whole, not the other way around. The body we're talking about is Christ's body of chosen people, the church. Each of us finds our meaning and function as a part of his body. But as a chopped off finger or a cut off toe, we wouldn't amount to much, would we? So since we find ourselves fashioned into all of these excellently formed and marvelously functioning parts of Christ's body, let's just go ahead and be what we were made to be without enviously or pridefully comparing ourselves with each other or trying to be something we're not. If you preach, just preach God's message. Don't mix it up with your own beep. Okay, that was free. Nothing else. If you help, then just help. Don't take over. If you teach, stick to your teaching. If you give encouraging guidance, be careful that you don't get bossy. If you're put in charge, don't manipulate. If you're called to give aid to people in distress, keep your eyes open and be quick to respond. If you work with disadvantage, don't let yourself get irritated with them or depressed by them. Keep a smile on your face. Love from the center of who you are. Don't fake it. Run for dear life from evil. Hold on for dear life to good. Be a good friend who love deeply and practice playing second fiddle. If you don't know what that means make other people a priority. Verse 11. Don't burn out. Keep yourself fueled in a flame. Be alert, servants of the master, cheerfully and expectant. Don't quit in hard times. Pray all the harder and help needy Christians. be invitive in hospitality. Put the vision statement back up, will you, as we close? We believe in a life-giving church that is building extraordinary people who love Jesus, help each other, and influence the world together. You make the difference in this place. You make the difference everywhere you go. It's why we give of our time, treasure, and talent to something that to the world makes no sense, but we are building a church that shows off who God is. That's why we want you to get involved in an e-group or lead an e-group, because we build relationships. It's why we want you to volunteer and find a team to be a part of, because your gifts and talents, when built in this place, begin to build teams and begin to show off who Jesus is. Don't stay in neutral. Be somebody that everywhere you go, you make it better. Why? Because you're building something that's bigger than yourself. And you're like, well, I don't know enough. Listen, if you need to know more, it's the reason why we pay every month for something called Right Now Media. You can get all sorts of information. You can find out how to tell people about where things are at and what things look like. And there's all sorts of teaching on there. You can come Sunday mornings at the 9:30 and be a part of a class. Don't make an excuse. It's about being a part of something that God is doing in the earth. And I believe, just as he said, he desires all mankind to be saved. And you know what it said in Acts? And I close with this, and would you stand with me? Acts says this, that after Peter got up to preach for the very first time, it says 3,000 were added to the church that day. And then as people began to gather every day together in the temple and at home, that God began to add to their numbers every day. As people began to live their life for Jesus as influencers, being a part of something that is bigger than themselves, God goes, I can trust these people. They're building something that I love. And it's beautiful. It's not perfect by any means, but it's beautiful. And so you can trust. You can trust. You belong. If you're wondering if you're trying to figure out what church to be a part of, listen, there's a lot of great churches, but if he's calling you to be a part of this, I just want you to know my plan is to build a large boat where many can come and experience Jesus. And if you want to know my heart, I want you to be a part of it. I don't want to do it without you. So we're going to close with this song, and then you can go into the back and sign up for an e-group. You can meet somebody. You can take somebody to coffee. Join a team. We got plenty of opportunities for you to be a part of sowing into our children, sowing into our youth, sowing into Sunday morning, sowing to all sorts of things that are going on. We're starting something called I Am Expression. It's becoming our outreach arm, where we're beginning to focus on what God wants us to do in our community. Just stay tuned, because you're making the difference. And I believe that because of you, so many are going to see what God is doing in Austin and in the world. Amen. Come on, let's give the Lord a big hand. Let's thank him. He invited us to be a part of something beautiful.